Let's turn to Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50. Let's begin reading in verse 15. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." Look at verse 18. "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants." Now I realize that we're going to leave here in a little while, and we all have been refreshed and renewed this weekend by the Spirit of God. And you don't think right now this could happen, but we know in a little while something will happen. Some act of God's providence will come along. And because we have an old nature that's nothing but fear and doubt, we'll have some fears and doubts creep up, begin to overtake us, take us into captivity, and there we'll be. That's what happened with these brothers. Their father died by God's hand at God's appointed time, just like our trials come at God's appointed time. But when it did, it threw them into a tailspin. Here they are, fearful, doubting. And these boys are, they're like us. This is our story. They rejected Joseph, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. But then when Joseph was exalted over all in Egypt, God worked it, drew them to Joseph. They came, bowed down, asking mercy. And Joseph freely forgave them. Showed them mercy. That's our story. It'd been over 17 years now that Joseph had showed these boys nothing but love and grace and mercy. Put them in the land of Goshen. Gave them the best that could be. And when their father died, they said, "Joseph's going to start hating us. And he's going to go back and requite all the evil we did to him and take vengeance out on us." They feared Joseph's love would change. You know why we fear that? Because our sin nature is nothing but change. That's all it is. Nothing but change. But God is not. God's not like us. He said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." Everybody God loves, He loves everlastingly. He never stops loving His people. And therefore, He drew us in loving kindness. Paul said height and depth, and he listed that big, long list of things. He said nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. They feared Joseph going to take vengeance because of their cruelty towards him early in life. You know why they feared that? Our sin nature is nothing but vengeance. Paul said in Titus, he said, "For a long time we lived in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's what our sin nature was. Carnal mind is enmity against God. But God's not like us. God said, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord and to our God." What would we do? What would we do if a man came to us and begged mercy after he treated us so evil? Our sin nature is to take vengeance. But God says, "Come to him and he will have mercy upon you." And he will abundantly pardon. God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways. Sinner, don't hesitate to come to Christ. Don't hesitate to come to him. You see your sin. You see how wretched you are. You see how great your sin is. That's the only kind of person that he receives. Come to him. He will abundantly pardon. He's not. Don't think the way that we think. He'll abundantly pardon. I've been in New Jersey now for 9 years. And in that time, I've preached over 1,100 messages. 1,100 messages. I preached Christ. I've tried to go line by line, verse by verse, through the Scriptures, reading the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. And some have heard every message I've preached and still don't believe. Why is that? Because our nature is so opposite to God. We cannot and we will not believe God's Word until God causes us to believe Him. But He said, God is not a man that He should lie. God's not a man that He should lie. Neither the Son of Man that He should go back on His Word. He doesn't have to repent. He doesn't have to change anything He said. If He said it, He'll do it. If He purposed it, He's going to bring it to pass. Who's a God like our God that'll tell you in Scripture what He's going to do? And then you just go through Scripture and watch Him do everything He said He would do. We can't do that. You can't do that. I can't do that. We make our plans. We have to say if it's the Lord's will. But He can make His plan and do exactly what He promised. He's God. He's not like us. But what does Christ do when we fall into this fear and this doubt? What does He do? Does He cast us out? We see a type here of what He does. Look there in verse 17. Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Scripture says this about our Lord. He's merciful and He's gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. We need plenty of mercy, don't we? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him, for He knows our frame. He knows that we are but dust. He knows us. He knows us. He knows that we can't free ourselves from that fear and that doubt. He knows we're dust. He knows we don't have the strength to free ourselves from the captivity we're brought into by our old sin nature. Well, who can? Who's the only one that can? Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He said, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, what I want to show you today is God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, is the only one who can deliver us and cast out fear so that we're able to rest in Christ. He's the only one that can do it. John said, perfect love casteth out fear. I was thinking of preaching this message already, and we passed that church building on the way to the park yesterday. Did y'all notice they had a sign out there that said, perfect love casteth out fear? I saw that. Melinda said, are you preaching on that? I said, yep. Perfect love casteth out fear. Well, God is love. Christ is love. And He's that perfect love that casts that fear out. We see here in type in the three things that Joseph said to his brethren, how Christ casts fear out of His people. How He subdues our old nature and renews the inward man. First of all, Christ reminds us who He is. Verse 19. Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He told them who He was. Christ tells us who He is. Secondly, Christ reminds us that God is absolutely sovereign in every aspect of our salvation. Verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And then thirdly, Christ nourishes our inward man and makes his word effectual in our new heart. Verse 21, now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them, or as the margin says, spoke to their heart. Spoke to their heart. Now, first of all, Christ casts fear out. He subdues that old, fearful, doubting sin nature in us by reminding us who he is. Joseph said there when they came to him, he said, fear not. He said, am I in the place of God? And what he's telling them there is, I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. I'm just Joseph. I'm not the judge. It's not my place to take vengeance on you. He told them who he was. Well, when we start fearing and doubting, Christ teaches us, reminds us, he is the judge. He reminds us who he is. He is the judge. Turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Look at verse 22. I love this thought, you know, that Christ is the Lamb. Christ is the High Priest. And Christ is the Judge. He's the Prophet, the Priest, the King. He's the Judge. You heard that saying that there, he's the Judge and the Jury. Well, hey, he's the Judge and the Jury. Watch this now. Verse 22. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that's Christ speaking now, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Brethren, that's the judge talking. That's the judge talking. He says that whoever believes on him that sent me, here's my word, and believes on him that sent me, he won't come into condemnation. He knows. He's the judge. He knows. It's his place to sentence one to condemnation. He knows who will and won't come into condemnation. He knows who his people are. And God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. And he's given us assurance he will, because he raised him from the dead and set him down at his own right hand. He's the one we're going to come in contact with. He's the one we're going to face one day. And he's the judge who knows his people, who laid down his life for his people. And so when he comes to us, the all-knowing, all-powerful judge, he discerns exactly what we need. I've heard several people, after yesterday's message, I heard several people come up to me and tell me why that message was good for them. And they all had different reasons. Now, if I'd have tried to preach that to you, I'd have bubbled it and never been able to apply it to you. But I just stand up, preach God's word, and he applies it however it needs to be applied, and it fits your need and your need and your need and your need. He discerns what we need. And you know what we always need? We need the one thing needful. One thing needful. All these things that Joseph is saying to them, everything Joseph is saying to them is the exact same word he said to them the very first time he revealed himself to them and had mercy on them. You know what we need? We need to hear Christ reveal himself over and over again and hear this gospel over and over again. Somebody, I believe it was Martin Luther, said we need to hear the gospel every day because we forget it every day. That's why we need to come hear the gospel over and over. That's why he chose to save through the foolishness of preaching. We need to hear him all the time, over and over and over. And when he speaks into your heart, brethren, he reminds you that he's the substitute. He's the successful Savior. That ends my fears when I hear Christ is the successful Savior. I don't get any comfort hearing about a Savior who needs me to help him. But a Savior who does it all, that Savior gives me confidence. And because he went to that cross and he took my sin and took the sin of his people on him, and he bore that sin and he paid the wages of sin, he died that death on that cross, he says to us now, and he reminds us, fury's not in God anymore towards his people. Not at all. God says this, for the sake of Christ, God says, I, the Lord, do keep my vineyard. And I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Turn over to Isaiah 51. This will bless your heart right here. Isaiah 51. This is so good. I read this a lot. Isaiah 51, verse 22. Listen to this. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord. Don't you like that? Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God that pleadeth the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thine hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again, but I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee. What did John say? If any man sin, when you sin, that's what he said, when you sin, when you fall into fear and doubts and that old nature takes you into captivity, just remember this. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That's right. I heard a good illustration years ago. And a couple weeks ago when I was in Danville, Gabe's father, Marvin Stoniker, and I were talking, and he reminded me of this, and we got to talking about it. But when Gabe and I was sitting under Brother Marvin, our pastor, he went to court with a fellow named Jay Bird. You remember that? He went to court with him, and he was sitting there in court, and there was a bunch of folks in the courtroom that were there to, you know, come before the judge. And these folks were going to try to represent themselves. They didn't have a lawyer. And they would go up to the judge, and the judge was just putting a hammer down on them. I mean, just, you don't speak my language. You don't understand the law. Don't come before me ever again. And he was sending them out of there, telling them that, I mean, he was just one after another. And Marvin said, I was getting a little worried for Jay Bird. And all of a sudden, that judge called his name. Marvin said, I was just thinking, oh, no. And about that time, a man stood up between Jay Bird and that judge and said, I represent that man. And that judge said, we'll talk afterwards. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the judge. He's the judge. He's our advocate and our judge. That's good news. We know when the judge tells you the case is dismissed or the case, you're innocent, you're not guilty, you don't argue with the judge. That's it. Well, sinner, when you doubt and fear, remember this. He says, your case is settled. You're not guilty. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what he reminds us of. Now, secondly, Christ reminds us that God is sovereign in our salvation. He says there, verse 20, as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph says, way back there when you rejected me, way back there when you stripped off my coat of many colors and threw me in that pit, sold me into slavery, you meant it for evil. You thought evil against me when you did that. Brethren, when the Prince of Life came to this earth and took human flesh, we thought evil against him. We despised him and rejected him. When you look at that And you say, well, if I wasn't there, you just know that's your nature and my nature. And that's what we did. We despised and rejected him. We nailed him to a cursed cross. And if you want proof, just think how long we went rebellious, thinking evil against him. And all our days of rebellion, thinking evil against him. But God is sovereign in the salvation of his people. Even though you fought evil against him, God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, much people alive. God is so absolutely in control of every aspect of the salvation of his people that everything in providence has been running exactly according to God's eternal purpose from before the foundation of the world. Everything. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. If he chose a redeemer before the foundation of the world, he already knew sin was going to enter in. If he covenanted and set up a Savior and a people to be saved, he already knew sin was going to enter in. That didn't take him by surprise. God's been working his eternal purpose from eternity. And in him, we've received an eternal inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Nothing that comes to pass is out of his power. That just comforts me. But I need to be reminded of it. I have to. Christ, our prophet, causes you to hear this gospel and causes you to be reminded he's in control of everything. The devil can't do anything without his permission. The devil couldn't enter the garden without his permission. But he allowed that. And he permitted Adam to fall in that garden and to plunge us into spiritual death. You know why? To glorify his name in the salvation of his people. He did it to give Christ his Son all preeminence in the salvation of his people. All we want is him to be glorified. And if that's his purpose, I'm happy with it, aren't you? I'm happy with it. God raised up the devil for the same reason he raised up Pharaoh. He said, I raised up that I might show my power in thee and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. The devil was raised up for Christ to bruise his head. Scripture says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. That, here's the reason, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's telling us that the reason God allowed sin to enter in is so Christ could come and destroy the devil and put away our sin and call us and cause us to glory in him alone. That's why he did it. And everything that's happened since then has been running right on track according to his eternal purpose, and nothing has been outside of his purpose. And the best place, like everything else, the best place to see that is to look to the cross. To look to the cross. The scripture says, of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. What did he determine before to be done? To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. He came to declare God just and justifier. That's what he accomplished. He came to bring in an everlasting righteousness, justifying his people and making us holy. That's what he accomplished. He came into this world to free us from sin, death, and hell. That's what he's accomplished, and that's what he shall accomplish. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Thank God we can hear Him say, I've glorified Thee on earth, Father. I've finished the work You sent me to do. Away with this helpless Jesus. I don't know who that is, do you? My Lord Jesus is the successful Savior. Every aspect of salvation has been in His hand. God put it in His hand before the foundation of the world. And as Isaiah said, He shall not fail till He's finished it. And He's finished it. So when you fear, brethren, and you doubt, remember this. If when we were enemies, if when we were thinking evil against Him, He reconciled us by the death of His Son. Much more then, being now reconciled, He shall save us by His life. When we thought evil against Him, if He sent His Son and laid down His life for us, now that He's redeemed us, He sure not going to let us go now. I'm so glad for that. Now, none of this would do us any good whatsoever if it wasn't for this last thing. Christ makes His word effectual in our new heart. We need that new man to be renewed. If that old man's going to be subdued, that new man's got to be renewed. And here's what He does. Verse 21, He says, Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And He comforted them and spake kindly unto them to their heart. Christ is our judge, He's our prophet, He's our priest, and He's our king. He said, No man knows the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. And that's not just in the first hour. That's every time you see a glimpse of God and you see Christ and you rejoice every single time. That's not of me and you. That's not of the preacher. That's of God. That's the only way we ever rejoice in Him. And He continues over and over and over renewing us and showing us Him. Just like He did in that first hour. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, shines in our hearts to give us a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And when He does that, brethren, you know, it's not your circumstances that matter. It's not your condition that you're in that matters. You know, we get to thinking, well, if I just wasn't in this place or I just wasn't in this, this just wouldn't happen and I'd be all right. They were in that, they were in that ship, you know, and the waves were tossed and all that. And Christ said, peace be still. And everything became a calm. You remember that? Well, you could be still. The waves could be raging. And if Christ says, peace be still to the heart, it's going to be still. It's going to be at peace. And it don't matter what the waves are doing. And that's the one who gives you peace. And when He speaks this peace, it don't matter what's going on. It don't matter if you're sick. It don't matter if you've fallen into sin. It doesn't matter if you're doubting and fearing whatever's happened. When He speaks this peace into your heart and you behold Him all over again, that's when you start to sing again. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Be still. The wind and the waves, they still know. His voice that ruled them when He walked below. My God does undertake. Just, my soul, be still. That's how He reveals who He is. He reveals to you every aspect of your salvation is in the hand of the sovereign God. And He makes the word effectual in your heart. To Him be the glory. Amen.